Views and opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and contributors, and not necessarily those of WFSU Public Media.
What's the 411? You're tuned in to 411 Teen, a weekly program for teens, families, and other interested folks. 411 Teen provides a forum to examine and discuss various issues and events that confront, intersect, and sometimes interrupt our daily lives. I'm Dr. Liz Holyfield. Joining me via the Zoom platform, I welcome students from Rickards High School. All of them are into Girlier, and we'll hear about Girlier. Would you introduce yourselves? I start with Divya.
Hi, my name is Divya. I'm a sophomore in James S. Rickards High School, and I am the founder of Girlier.
Yes.
Hi, my name is Raksha. I am a sophomore at James S. Rickards High School, and I'm a board member of Girlier.
Okay.
Hi, my name is Tiffany Zhang, and I'm a freshman at James S. Rickards High School.
Girlier is a nonprofit organization established to inspire girls and women to make an impact in STEM, science, technology, engineering, and math. Girlier are the efforts of several Tallahassee High School students that strive to tackle gender disparities and increase women in male-dominated jobs. 33% of students in STEM fields worldwide are women. This gender disparity is due to discrimination, biases, social norms, and expectations that influence the quality of education women receive and the subjects that they study. First of all, 411 Teen applauds you for your efforts to expose and expand young women to the STEM fields. Divya, share how Girlier evolved. I know you are the founder of it.
Yeah, so it first started with like just seeing the inequality in the STEM work field, and being in a biology classroom or a computer science classroom, I was probably out of five girls, the only, like, I was the minority in that classroom, and I saw only boys in there, and I just felt very alone. So I just wanted to inspire people, mostly women, to enter this work field so we can have more knowledge and we can disperse all this and have an equal playing field in our, you know, work field.
Okay. And you were in biology class and you were the only or one of five in the biology class in high school?
Yeah. Lots of people don't take biology as girls.
What are they taking? What are they taking place of it? Don't you have to have so many?
Yeah, they have chemistry.
Okay, so they'll take chemistry instead of biology.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right.
So, yeah, we were just the minority. So I saw that and I felt alone. Okay. And by the years, they are increasing, though. So I'm very glad about that.
That's good. Raksha, share with us your experiences with the STEM fields. What have you found to be the case? Have you been the only girl in the class, or what was your impetus for wanting to be involved?
I feel like since I'm taking biology right now, I'm definitely, our class is definitely more like boys as majority rather than girls, but it's not to the point where I'm like one of the five. But I can see that in many of my peers that they'd rather take like something not to do with the STEM work field rather than to strive to be within the STEM and take biology or science classes during high school.
Okay. Other comments? All right. Exactly what do you have to do to form the organization? I mean, one of you sits on the board. So what do you have to, what did you have to do to get this organization started?
So one of the things that we had to do was basically go out into events. Like recently we went to the Pineview Elementary School and we showcased our club, and we described how we started it, what it's about and what inspired us and how it's going to contribute to the community. And we did like little experiments to get the kids kind of conditioned into what would happen at our meetings. And we did the elephant toothpaste meeting, or I mean the experiment. And it went well. We had lots of positive feedback. And a lot of kids actually signed up for it. And now they're doing online classes with us.
Oh, really? So it went really well. So you were received very well. Folks were encouraging, supportive, I guess is what you're saying?
Yeah, they were very supportive because it reached out to them in a way where they can have fun. They can have academic like achievements in this particular club. They can put it on their college application. They just have a sense of like what is going on in the STEM work field. It gives them a sense of authority over them, like careers and stuff like that.
What is the significance of the name? How did you come up with the name? Is there any particular special connection that it has? Girlier?
Yeah, lots of people find it as an interesting name, but Girlier just comes from, you know, incorporating more girls into the STEM field. So the STEM field is more girlier, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It makes sense. It makes sense.
Okay. All right. Just want to know. Now, Raksha, you said you were a board member?
Yeah.
And what does that involve? What do you do? What are your responsibilities?
I help Divya out with anything she needs, really.
Okay. So you're just there to do whatever is necessary?
Yep.
Okay. Tiffany, you are a what? Member?
Yes, I am just a member.
And what was the impetus for you to become involved? How did you first hear about it?
I first heard about it when it was going around our school because Girlier is a club in our school. So when I heard about it, like inspiring women and girls to be involved in the STEM field, I felt like it was because I'm a girl, I think I should have responsibility to inspire other girls to be involved in this club in the STEM work field.
Was that easy? I mean, were they receptive? How did you encourage them to become involved? If they aren't involved in the first place, you find that they weren't taking the subjects, they weren't geared to those subjects. How did you get them from where they were to becoming involved in a STEM organization?
I feel like many individuals felt like discouraged because they're like girls and STEM is like a male-dominated work field. And so if we show them that like our accomplishments and what we can do, we can stand as like an inspiring kind of figure for them to look up to, whether if they're like in elementaries or like our peers around us.
Okay. All right. No.
Yeah. And also, sorry.
No, go right ahead.
One thing we also target is the impoverished and like kind of discriminated in the work field. So we'll try to look at minorities, which is also including women, of course, but we try to look at people who lack resources. So they don't really have a sense of what's going on, you know? So we want to give them the resources. And as it's a nonprofit, we don't have anyone pay for any of like the experiments that they're going through, the academic presentations that we provide them, or any resources at all. So they have a free platform and they have a foundation essentially, and they can just build up from them.
Okay. Paint a picture of your organization for the listening audience. And when I say paint a picture, who's involved now? I mean, how many people have you had involved? What schools are involved? Just tell us, just give us an overview of Girlier. Whoever wants to, all of you, to contribute.
Yeah, so since it was during COVID where we started it mostly, we started off on an online platform where we have over at least 150 plus students online that are going through the tutoring process and learning various subjects and getting certified with coding languages. So that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
But as in terms of like in real life, in the local area where I am in Tallahassee, you know, we have a few students, but we were trying to reach out to NIMS High Middle School. We're trying to go through the primary schools like Pine View, like because we presented there. So we wanted to look at the more underfunded schools, you could say.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so have they've been very responsive and wanting to be involved?
Yeah, the NIMS middle school teachers I have a few emails from them, and we're just trying to get everything sorted. We're going to start next school year. So when I'm a junior, I'm going to start presenting girlier and incorporating more in the 21st century program, which is like an after school program.
Mm-hmm.
So the students can, while they're waiting for their parents to pick them up, they can have a sense of what's in the STEM work field, have an academic kind of after school thing.
What are the requirements to become a member of the girlier community?
Yeah, so what we have is an application process. Mm-hmm. All you have to do is give a resume, what clubs you're in. If you have any interest or like any at all interest, if you're trying to apply for the club, that's enough interest to even be part of the club. But specifically being a member is more of kind of introducing yourself to me, and it'll go through the whole executive board and we'll decide, because we really want good students who can teach other younger students
mm-hmm.
how it feels and how it is to be in the STEM work field, because we've gone through that process of growing up from middle school and going to high school, going to different various classes and choosing like STEM classes. So we want to introduce that, give them a rundown and tell them what it is and how it's going to be like.
Is there any cost involved?
So as it's a nonprofit, we don't have a cost, but in the future, we are looking to host a summer camp as long as we get donations, but there's no cost for the meetings. It's totally free. It's run on donations. It's run on just sponsors and stuff like that.
Okay. Well, what we're going to do is we're going to take a break briefly, but I'd like to come back and find out about the meetings, about the summer activity, and contact information for those who may be listening that want to get more information. You're tuned in to 411 Teen. This hour, we are talking with Girlier, a STEM worldwide organization for young women. What's the 411? You're tuned in to 411 Teen. This hour we have a dynamic program. It's called Girlier. And it is a program to encourage women to participate in male-dominated jobs. STEM stands for science, technology, engineering, and math. I had to interrupt you, and I know we had two people join us. With the two folks that just joined us, share who you are. Just introduce your name and classification, what grade you're in.
My name is Bavagna Punyala, and I'm in ninth grade.
Well, welcome to 411 Teen.
Hi, my name is Aish Patel, and I'm in seventh grade.
Okay, welcome to 411 Teen. We're glad to have you join our conversation. We were just talking about Girlier and how it got started. And what is the process? I mean, do you have meetings every month? When do you meet? Give us more of a picture. Divya, I'll kind of let you guide this, but, you know, provide a picture for what's going on. How often do you meet? What are you doing for the summer? You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, so since it's online, we don't have meetings, but we're going to do next school year, we're going to have a once a month meeting because we don't want to disrupt the whole school schedule.
Right.
We want people to join. And the meetings are going to be age different. So they're going to be age separated. So because we want to adapt the learning environment to mm-hmm. the people's ages and stuff like that, so they don't find it too hard. And they back out, they don't find it too easy, you know. We just wanted to make it an equal playing field.
Okay. Now, the summer activity, do you have anything going on this summer?
This summer, we haven't had like, since I said before, it's online, so the summer program is going to take online. But next school year, of course, we're going to have donations. We're estimated about like 500, which is way more than we need because it's going to be held locally.
Okay. But it is, when you say it's going to be held locally, how far does it reach out? How far does it expand, Curlier?
Expand as in like just in Tallahassee since the summer camp, and the online students are just going to be online. We're probably going to just have them on Zoom and participate in the activities. But in terms of locally, it's just going to be in Tallahassee. The schools in Leon County mostly are going to just participate, and whoever shows up, shows up.
Okay. Will you share the contact information? Someone may hear the program. A teacher may hear and want to know more about it. How do they get in contact with you?
Yeah, so we have a website. It's girlier.com. And we also have an Instagram, which is girlier_NPO. And we also have an email. It's girlier.nonprofit@gmail.com. Okay. And you can contact us about attending your school. You can contact us about how to be a member in this club or how to participate and how to contribute. And we'd like that.
Okay. Do you, and this is to all of you, so do you have parents or friends or relatives, female relatives, who are in the STEM field? Any of you?
I'm going to make one of the freshmen answer this. So
yes,
Tiffany?
Yeah.
I personally do not, but I feel like that the lack of like people or relatives that aren't in the STEM field that are women mm-hmm. is what like inspired me to join this club even more.
Okay. Anyone else? Well, according to the organization UNESCO, the United Nations Educational, Scientific, and Cultural Organization. It's a specialized agency of the United Nations aimed at promoting world peace and security through international cooperation in education, art, science, and culture. This disparity that we see between women and men in the stem cell is the result of the quality of education women have received and the subjects they take. What STEM courses have all of you been exposed to up until this point? And I'll start with you, Tiffany.
Sorry, could you repeat that? My internet is going in and out.
Okay. I just wanted to know, what STEM courses have you taken to this point? Have you been exposed to or have you been enrolled in and taken up to this point?
Since I'm a freshman, right now I'm taking pre-AB chemistry and AP biology. I've taken like basic science courses throughout my middle school years, but I'm already applying and requested many other classes for my years coming, like physics and more chemistry.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Raksha, what have you had?
I also took chemistry and AP biology as well as AP physics this year.
Okay. Were you the only girl in your class?
No, I had Divya.
Oh, so it was the two of you, huh? Okay.
Oh, well, we have our friends. We have our little friend group that goes to these little STEM classes. It's me, Huntsy, which is also a board member. She's not here, unfortunately. We have Abigna. We have Kavya, who are all board members. And it's funny how they're all attending the STEM classes. Because that's what Girlier does.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. So you could be someone who has not really attended or any STEM classes, but is interested in it. They would be a candidate to join Girlier?
Yes, of course, because lots of people know that lots of STEM field jobs are high paying and money attracts people. And that's what is like a main attraction to people. So that when they come into our club, they're like, I want to be a doctor because it pays more money. But we also incorporate how doctors can help and how they study and how these subjects interest people like them.
Well, you know, the research says that gender differences in STEM education participation is visible in early childhood care and education in science and math. And usually around the middle school age, girls seem to lose interest in STEM. So it's kind of between the early and the late adolescence. What do you think? And I'd like to hear from each one of you, because I'd like to get your take on it. What do you think is happening at this point? Why are we seeing this lack of interest with middle school?
I want to get the middle schooler to talk.
Yeah. Okay.
I used to be a seventh grader.
Okay.
I think it's how the teachers are teaching and incorporating the students within the classroom, whether it makes the students more involved, making it more fun, which helps some students learn, but some students just take out or lose interest when it's just lectures.
Oh, okay. So the teaching style, you're saying, has plays a part.
Yes.
And it must be a style that kind of turns females off. Because that's what we're seeing. We're seeing females in middle school kind of being turned off from the STEM curriculum.
I also think it might be the learning environment, too, because how your setting is can also affect how you participate in your setting, right?
Give me an example.
If you see more, like, as I said, the teacher probably picking on the boy more to answer the questions or anything like that, the girl doesn't have a chance to express her opinions or like her answers. So she might feel discouraged and stem far away from that.
Okay. All right. Let me hear from someone else. Tiffany, what do you think is happening? What's your take on that?
I feel like in middle school, since from the beginning, like for me, in my case, like my classes have been male dominated rather than more females. Mm-hmm. So when you see like males doing better than you on tests or understanding better, they just, you know, they aren't motivated in the right way and they aren't exposed in the right way. So they just sort of like unconsciously give it up.
Okay. Vibagna, what have you experienced? What do you think is going on?
In some of my classes in middle school and stuff, I've had like classes where a lot of boys would raise their hands, and when girls raised their hands, the teachers wouldn't pick on them.
Mm-hmm.
They would assume that the answer would be wrong, and they should just like go with the people who've been answering the questions more often. So if you've never like answered a question before and you raise your hand, you're like less likely to be picked on.
Okay. Well, let me throw this back to you all. Since you are seeing this, since this is what is happening, do you think that possibly Girlier might have a symposium or talk with STEM teachers? Because they may not be aware that they're doing this. And maybe tell them, because the research is saying, hey, girls lose interest in STEM with age, between the early and late adolescence. That's where all. So maybe if Girlier as an organization, as a group, had maybe just a little group meeting or symposium or something with the teachers of STEM subjects, making them aware of how girls feel in their class. I don't know, Divya, does that sound like something you all might be interested in doing?
Of course, but we might not reach out directly to the teachers, but having students in our club might be a kind of messenger to the teachers that these girls are participating in STEM. They have a good knowledge of what the STEM classes are like and what's in them, so they can easily participate and have equal contribution to the class. And these teachers will read the lies, and our outreach will reach them, and they'll have more information about how girls can contribute. And that's our main goal, is just to have more girls to contribute to the STEM.
What has been, and you think about, you know, instilling interest, motivating new participation, what is the most challenging to this point component of this whole evolution of Girlier? As you think about where it is and where it's come from and where you're going, what do you see as the most challenging component of it, as far as what you have to do to keep it going and to get more involvement?
As the world like progresses, trends are being set and they are being diminished faster and faster as ever. It's hard to keep up with what kids like and what they don't like, what's out of style, what's in style. It's very hard to keep them entertained, and that is probably one of the hardest challenges, is just to keep them focused and entertained. So the experiments that we do might be like old for them. They might have done it before in their STEM classes. So we're just trying to come up with new ideas every single day and incorporate it into our meetings so the children are focused.
Well, what keeps you all involved? What is it that keeps you going, that keeps you motivated?
Hands-on and group experiments. I love experiments myself. I just love having hands-on experiments. I love getting dirty. And I just love doing everything, recording data. It's just so fun to work with other people, especially because they have different ideas to contribute. And overall, it's just a good experience to socialize and do science.
What about you, Roxelle?
I think the same as what Divya said, the motivation to do good in science is mainly...
That's what keeps you going?
Yeah.
Okay. I guess what I'm trying to find out is, how did you all get here? How did you get to the point that you love science? What is it about science that you found just so stimulating?
Mostly the importance that most of us are Asian, actually, here. Mm-hmm. I think all of us are Asian.
Okay.
And our parents stress the importance of the STEM work field, and they stress a high-paying job. And although the pressure gets to us, we actually like it because it's so printed into our brain that it just comes a part of our life. And we just didn't really stimulate ourselves into it. It kind of came into our life, and it's just been a part of our life because it's just been stressed by our parents of how important it is.
Okay, and that kind of leads to my next question I was going to ask to you. What about the influence of culture? Do you think that culture has an influence in your interest in the stem cell at all? And you're saying, all of you are saying that your parents have encouraged you and have supported you and have, you all have discussed the value of the STEM subjects and research and jobs in that area. So culture, would you say that culture plays a role?
Yeah, culture definitely plays a role because I don't want to fall into the Asian stereotype, but it's literally like that because our parents care about our grades, and it's just the academic culture mm-hmm. that's in so many Asian countries that's been carried out into the U.S. and American children that have immigrated here, and it's just been like dispersed around the whole community. As academics are important, the STEM work field is high paying and it's important, like it's really useful. So that's what happens. This culture really just integrates itself into little crevices and everything like that.
What about school? Did school play a role in it at all as far as young women going into STEM cell for you? Was there anything in school? Was there a teacher or a particular subject that, you know, kind of tickled your interest and got you going? What about you, Tiffany?
For me, Rickards has like a lot of really nice science classes. Like they have almost every single like IB or AP class that we can take. So I feel like me missing out on this opportunity and going to Rickards would be just a, like a loss for me.
Okay. Now, Aisha, I know you are in the seventh grade. Has school played a role in your interest?
Yes, definitely, because I find that like learning new things and adding on to what I know just makes it better, and it interests me personally.
Okay. All right. That's what we need to know. You know, how do we get people, young women, interested in the STEM subjects, in the STEM curriculum? Because that's a secret. I mean, you all have told us it's culture. There may be some other things, too. I just ask you to hold your thoughts for a moment. We're going to take a brief break. You tuned in to 411 Teen, and this hour we are looking at females in STEM.
Views and opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and contributors, and not necessarily those of WFSU Public Media.
Just tuning in, the program is 411 Teen, and this hour we are dealing with individuals involved in the girlier community. Girlier, the founder of it is Divya, and she is with us. And they are striving to tackle the gender disparities and increase women in male-dominated jobs. How many of you feel like you will be pursuing the STEM career at some point, pursuing a STEM career?
I'm going to be a computer science major, and that is very male-dominated, and it hasn't increased much from the years that I've heard from like past graduates. So I'm nervous, but I'm going to dominate that field just by one girl.
Well, what are you nervous about?
Obviously, there's going to be discrimination when you're a minority in the major. So nonetheless, the fear is going to be a factor one way or another. By fear, I meant like, you know, just scared for what the future holds.
Oh, okay. All right. Who else is going to
play? I definitely do think that I will probably have a STEM field, because STEM includes many fields. So.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it does. Yeah. Okay. Who else is going, feels like they may pursue? Does anyone else feel like they may pursue a career in the STEM field?
I feel like I'm definitely going to be involved in the STEM field because I'm striving towards the medical field.
Okay. Anyone else?
I want to go into architect and engineering, which is also super male dominated.
Anyone else? All right. When we think about the STEM field, and I know you all have done a lot of thinking about it because you're just investigating it on an ongoing basis, what role does the media play in gender disparities in STEM? Do you think media plays any role at all?
Media has a big factor on what we think. This generation, like this a specific time in our generation, especially with new social networks like TikTok, Instagram, like all those things are definitely brainwashing a bunch of people because it's a trend to follow a trend. So to be a sheep is to be normal, I guess. And following these people's ideas, whether it may be right or wrong, you can't really decide for yourselves. And it will definitely change the course of any people's thinking or anything like that. If you have something about STEM and there's like, oh, computer science is not a good place for girls, it becomes a trend to not go, and the disparity of men and women is going to go down.
So you're talking about the whole gender stereotype can just perpetuate. and create even more and more challenges.
Yeah, it's just a trend to follow a trend, to put it simply. Everyone just follows what a person says and they become part of a herd.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, other comments?
The media also does just help get the word out for certain things. So even if it's good or bad, it still kind of encourages it.
Mm-hmm. I see. And I would agree with you. I understand exactly where you're coming from. Anyone else have some other comments about the role the media plays? I mean, it makes it seem like maybe going into STEM careers is not the way to go. For females, anyway.
Are you saying that?
I mean,
that
the media, and sometimes the media can promote that. That, you know, they often, young females, very rarely do you see them in the role of someone who's interested in a STEM field. You don't see that promoted in even movies, videos, or anything like that. It's more maybe more material things, how you look, how you dress, that kind of thing. And maybe I'm wrong. You tell me. But I see the media promoting that a lot. I mean, you look at girl magazines, and they're all about, you know, how you look. Not what you think.
Yeah.
You know? Not
my
what's in your
head.
My mom
owns a few magazines.
Mm-hmm.
Of those, of that content, it's like how to find a rich husband
mm-hmm.
in 7 steps.
Mm-hmm.
It's not how to get a doctorate in 7 steps. You know,
right? Exactly.
It's really just based upon the man, and it really just comes. It stems from the olden age, like the 1950s. Factory workers, like no women were allowed to work past in the 1800s, and they incorporated themselves into the war, but they were still medics and they were used for their bodies. And it's just
exactly stemmed
from that where this kind of discriminatory practice in every kind of STEM field is.
Right. And that's exactly what I'm talking about, how the media, you know, really promotes gender stereotypes. Not all of them, but I would say more so than less. Do you have suggestions or ideas how we prevent young women, girls, from internalizing or developing a fixed mindset that they are not equipped to think critically or that they cannot contribute valuable ideas to STEM, because that's another part of it. You know, girls get to a point where they think, well, I don't really know. I can't do that. When you can. You can do it just as well or better, often better. So
yeah, so like Tiffany said, she doesn't have anyone in the STEM work field who's a woman, right?
Mm-hmm.
So one of our things that we also have in our program is inviting guest speakers and get that like consist of women that have acquired higher positions in the STEM work field, like doctors, entrepreneurs, like business stuff, engineers, computer science majors that have just acquired these higher positions. And it gives them a role model to these students to, like, you know, have inspiration, which mm-hmm. is our main goal, is give inspiration, motivate all these girls to enter the work field. And when they have this role model, they have something to base on. They can be to themselves and be like, oh, well, this girl achieved this. Why can't I?
Mm-hmm. Again, for those who may be listening and want to find out more information about Girlier, can you share with us the contact information? Do you have a website, you know, email? Could you share that with us now for those who may be listening?
Yeah. Our Instagram is girlier_NPO. Our Gmail is girlier.nonprofit.
girlier@gmail.com, and our website is girlier.com.
Okay. Now, what's happening in the future? I mean, what are you doing for the summer? I know you had mentioned something about having a summer fair or a summer camp or something. So what is Girlier going to be doing? Do you know what you're going to be doing for the summer? School will probably be out by the time this really airs. So what plans, do you have any projects, Girlier projects, any STEM projects that you will be doing this summer?
Yeah, so this summer, as of right now, since we have mostly online members, we're kind of putting them into these competitions, like the BOWS International Competition, where it's about climate change. And we're filming videos, we're coding apps to help these problems, like about climate change. And we're trying to incorporate our STEM strengths while also achieving academically.
Okay.
So that's our STEM project during the summer. Our next summer project is going to be the summer camp for younger students.
Okay. And now, when will that be? This summer or next? Or you mean next year summer?
Next summer. Okay. Yeah, next year summer is going to be a summer camp. It's going to be a small fee. So, because obviously I'm a high schooler. But if we do get enough sponsors by then, our students will have a bountiful amount of resources. And they can join many other stuff with these sponsors.
Okay. And I know I talked with you about it. You had said earlier that you were planning, hopefully, a science fair and a career fair. Tell us about those. Elaborate on what your plans are for them and when you plan to have it. And what will it provide?
Yeah, so our career fair is going to be mostly with some older students that are looking for internships in their major. So for me, I'm looking for some software engineering internships, such like that. So this career fair is going to have different employees or sponsors, part of companies that they own. And they're going to have booths and they're going to introduce themselves. The students are going to introduce themselves. They're going to talk about their companies. And if the students are interested, they can apply for internships. And our science fair, on the other hand, is just going to be a science project that the students are going to have to come up with. We're going to have like a kind of theme, a category, if you can say, and the students make a board, they can do experiments, and they'll win cash prizes.
Wow, that sounds exciting.
Yep, it's just to motivate the children, cash prizes, you know?
Now, as we were talking about it, what do you have any room, any place, any use for volunteers? What if someone, even an adult who may be in the STEM field, would like to volunteer some of their expertise, their skills with your organization? Could be a business. It could be an individual. Is that an option? Do you have a place that you can use volunteers at this point, since you are a nonprofit?
Yeah. So we'll use students as well as some people from FSU that are like professors that can help at our fundraisers, where we're just trying to get some money for the club, and they'll volunteer through our club. So they can help out and teach the students at the same time.
Now, you said FSU, but what about TCC? Oh, it's not TCC anymore. Tallahassee Community College, I think. Would you be using their professors? What about FAMU? Is this something that's just limited to FSU?
It's not limited to FSU. We just had professors from FSU reach out to volunteer. We are more than willing to work with FAMU and TCC, or Tallahassee Community College, sorry. Because the more the merrier, you know?
Okay. I just didn't know if that was something that you were doing, you know, specifically with FSU, and you were looking for other you know, professors at FSU, or if it was just open to everyone. So that's why I asked that. Okay.
Yeah, it's open to anyone. Even parents of students can help out, just around the club, around fundraising money, just in any way possible, because I only have one pair of hands.
Yeah. And it seems like this will be really busy. It's going to take a lot of work, but you've gotten off to a really great start. So again, I applaud you. In addition, you also mentioned earlier a tutoring service. And in these last few minutes, we don't have that much time, but I wanted you to share exactly how this tutoring service works. How does one access the tutorial service? Who do you tutor? What do you tutor them in? I mean, just give us the guidelines for the tutoring service. Is it available in the summer? Maybe someone may want to be a tutor and not really even be a recipient, but want to provide tutoring services. So tell us about that, please.
Yeah, so the tutoring service is going to be free, so the tutors can't really get any money from it.
Mm-hmm.
But what happens is they have to first be a member. That's going to be one of the requirements.
Okay.
And we're going to have an application process where they just reach out to Girlier. They can say their subject, their desired subject, why they want to tutor in this subject, how much they know, have they taken this before, or are they going to take it. And then we're going to give them a short test, kind of view how well they're in the subject, the mastery level, and then going to assign them to a student who has also reached out to us looking to be tutored in the subject. And Ayush is actually one of our tutors, so he can tell you what the application process was like.
Okay. Yes, Ayush. Yeah.
So basically the application process was, it was pretty simple for being a tutor. So you just put in your contact information, you put whether you've taken a course, like she said, and then you are paired up with usually an elementary school kid, because, you know, those kids, they can have a bigger influence on their future as well.
Mm-hmm.
And you can teach them various subjects in the STEM fields, like science, math, and those subjects. And you'd have to take a baseline test to learn, or to make sure you know the subject as you're supposed to. So, yeah.
And if they take the test and they aren't where they need to be, can they get and then they receive tutoring to bring them up? I mean, let's say they're having a difficult time. They want to be involved. They're having a difficult time in chemistry, and they should know more than they do. Can they get tutors to help them bring their grade level and their competence level up?
Like with tutoring services, they can. What do you mean by this?
Well, if you're tutoring, you're aiding somebody or helping someone, or you're educating someone, providing some education to help them in that particular area, correct?
Yes, we do help to aid in that. I'm sorry, I did not understand the question.
Okay, all right. So that's what I was asking. Could they, you know, you have someone who just isn't doing well. They may take the test and they may not get the score that you need them to get. But as I look at the clock, we are out of time. So that means, Divya, we need to have you come back in the fall and tell us how things went, because it's time out for this edition of 411 Teen. Many thanks to all of you in the Girlier community, to my listening audience. Much appreciation for your time and your ear. Tune in next week, same time, same place, to get the 411 on 411 Teen. The 411 Teen was produced by Dr. Liz Hollyfield. If you would like to participate in 411 Teen or have suggestions for discussion topics, call 850-645-7200. You can listen to past episodes at WFSU.org.